Being a ministry wife is a vocation without a job description. And let's be honest, sometimes it seems like ministry might be easier if we did have one. If you are a ministry wife like me and are looking for hope, perspective, and a little bit of practical advice regarding your role, you're in the right place. Hi, I'm Christine Hoover, author of How to Thrive as a Pastor's Wife. Welcome to the Ministry Wives Podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. Join me as we hear from women from various ministry contexts, having authentic conversations about our shared joys and challenges, even the ones we're unsure we can talk about. No topic is off limits. Today, my guest is Kelly King. Kelly is the manager of Lifeways magazines and devotional products, and she's also a women's ministry specialist and co-host of the Marked podcast. I asked Kelly to join me today to talk about women's ministry, and especially in the context of being a ministry wife. Why is women's ministry so important? What are some practical tips she would give us as ministry wives in either starting or leading a women's ministry? What are typical challenges we may face and how can we navigate those challenges? And then I asked Kelly, what are some basic leadership principles that we all can put into practice as we're leading other women? Here, friends, is my conversation with Kelly King. I'm so excited to welcome Kelly King to the Ministry Wives podcast. Welcome, Kelly.
Thanks, Christine. It's so fun to get to be on the other side of the microphone. I'm usually on your side, so this is fun.
I know. Yeah, you and I think Elizabeth Heinemann, you host the Marked podcast for Lifeway, right? Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's one of the fun things that I get to do at Lifeway.
Yeah, which is Marked is primarily on the women's ministry side of things, or okay.
It is, yes. So it's part of Lifeway Women, and we interview a lot of our authors when we're doing new Bible studies and just, you know, conversations about leadership, ministry, things like that. So I love that you really focus on ministry wives, because such a huge part of leadership and ministry, and to give a special, you know, special attention to these women. That's awesome.
I love it. Well, tell us about you and your family, your ministry context, and what you're doing there at Lifeway.
Absolutely. So I have actually been here at Lifeway. It'll be 7 years right about now. And so that's been fun. My family, I'm married to Vic. We've been married 35 years. He is not a minister, but I always like to say that he is the best friend to the minister. And every pastor and every minister I know, they really do need those guys in their lives that are just encouragers and servant-hearted. And so that's really, he is just great at that. So yes, we've been married 35 years. We have two adult children, Connor, who's married to Tina, and then we have our daughter Courtney, who's married to Gage, and they have our first grandson, Lucan, and we are about to have our second. So super excited about grandchildren and all the fun things. So that's a little bit. And then my ministry context here at Lifeway, I get to do a lot of different roles. I actually am the manager of our adult ministry magazines and devotional products. So some people might be familiar with Home Life or Mature Living or Journey magazine for our women. That especially might be, you know, ring a bell to some of the audience. And then I also get to be the women's ministry specialist, which entails a lot of different things, but mostly it is training churches and training church leaders at in this context of how do we minister to women. It's not just a program of women's ministry, but it really is a lifestyle of ministering to women, because I do think for women, we really all have that calling to minister to women.
Mm-hmm. That's so great. Were you doing women's ministry before you took this role?
Yeah. So years ago, really the Lord led me in student ministry, and my first staff position was at my local church. I'm really one of those people that the Lord called out of the local church. And so I just see the importance of how we equip people in the church, because I do feel like God uses that. And so I was in student ministry, but really had a heart for women's ministry, doing women's Bible studies, been a part of that women's discipleship really since college. Mm-hmm. And then the Lord just really led me vocationally that way. I was able to do that in my local church. And then I worked for the state Baptist Convention in Oklahoma for 11 years. So I oversaw the women's missions and ministries in Oklahoma. Love that. Love the people there. And that's home for us. And then when Chris Adams retired from Lifeway, they just asked if I would consider moving. And we just really sensed that it was a new assignment for us. And it's been a fun assignment.
That's so fun. I remember now the connection with Oklahoma. I got to go there last spring and speak to the pastor's wives there. And the Oklahoma Baptist Convention is a really strong convention. They have a lot of good things happening. And I loved those women.
Yeah. And the ministry wives, that particular event has been going on even before I was in that position. So it is an annual event where really it is just to encourage ministry wives. So yeah, I'm so glad that you got to do that because they are my people and I love them so much.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about women's ministry because a lot of people listening, they're ministry wives. They may be thrown into women's ministry just by nature of their being married to the pastor or their church planting. You know, when we church planted, I started our women's ministry and led that. And I really learned as I went and learned the hard way. So I first want to know from you why is women's ministry so important in the local church? Why is it important for churches to have a women's ministry?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, especially when you talk to, let's just say, a church planting wife, where it's small and you just think, okay, we're not starting something else. You know, we're just trying to have church on Sunday and trying to get people to come. But there is something really unique, Christine, I think, about just gender-specific women's groups. I love that when women get together, there is a – because women get each other. Yeah. We understand each other's struggles. And I think there's a vulnerability and an authenticity that happens in those groups. Even – I tell people this, but a couple of years ago, we were in Colorado with some friends, and there's a little community that my husband's family has been a part of for many, many years. And we had been invited to go to dinner, and there were four women. We were just sitting there having dinner, so four women. And within 30 minutes, we were sharing some really difficult things or things that were happening with our kids or family. And these were women who were all believers, and they just really rallied around each other. And it was like a prayer time and a time of encouragement. And I thought, we just did women's ministry here.
Yeah.
We really did. Because there were some really hard needs within just that little group of women. So it really doesn't take you doing this huge Bible study or a huge event. It is just really meeting the needs of women where they are.
Yeah. Well, that brings to mind, you know, I'm doing women's ministry at my church, and I think sometimes women's ministry gets a bad rap, like people, what you just said, that's scary to them. And so I'm wondering how you encourage women who are a little bit on the fringes and they're afraid of, first of all, what is women's ministry going to be? Is it going to be corny and awkward, or the vulnerability you just described? Like, how do you encourage them if they're on the fringes to come into that?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. And I think we've all been in places where it has been awkward, or maybe it has been something in the past that it doesn't feel relevant. Or maybe it seems very fluffy, or it's all about the way things look or the appearance of things, and it's not those relationships. So I do think to create that atmosphere, it really does kind of start with a leader. And then a lot of times that can be the ministry wife, the pastor's wife. And I know that's really difficult because sometimes for pastor's wives, it's not that we don't want to have relationships, but we can become very guarded.
Yeah.
Because we maybe have had some hurt, or we're not really sure what we can share, because where do we go for a safe place? And so I do think there is a way for women to have friendships in that, but just having an atmosphere of, this is not just a friendly church, but this is a church where you can have friends. And so allowing yourself to bring down the guard just a little bit, but creating spaces where, and center it around God's word, center it around Jesus, not on, hey, this is a self-esteem seminar where we're all going to just talk about how special we are and how, you know, we're the center of our universe. No, God is the center. And so how do we point others to Jesus, and how do we, and because I do think we live in a world where women are lost and they are looking for hope. And so where are we helping them point that to hope?
Yeah. Yeah. I find that the more I acknowledge as the leader, I acknowledge maybe some of the, even my own, sometimes like I feel nervous about going into a women's event, or just acknowledging that there are hard things that I don't have all the answers, or there are hard things that I'm not that I'm asking them to carry the weight of my struggles, but just acknowledging that we don't all come in with this happy, you know, cheery feeling. And so I think that has helped in just including people in. So I'm wondering, what are some of the trends that you're seeing in women's ministry that are really encouraging to you?
Oh, sure. I do think I see, especially in a younger generation, they are hungry to know God's word, and they're not content with just opening a Bible study and just someone downloading the information for them. And I love that about this generation. They're saying, how do I dig into God's word? How do I study it correctly? How do I get into the context and the culture? So I think that's a trend that I'm seeing, I think, with some women. And so I think that's encouraging. And then I also do think there's a real desire to say, hey, there's something beyond us. So how do we connect ministry in the local church to the ministry in our communities? How do we see what's happening in our communities, and how can we help women really take the blinders off our eyes and say there's some hurt going on, and then how do we connect that?
Yeah, that's so good. I also have encouraged, just to plug Lifeway, I'm seeing some of the studies coming out, or some of the upcoming studies, and there's just such a, I see this trend toward, let's go verse by verse through a book of the Bible, and from really great Bible teachers, and that is encouraging to me as well.
Oh, probably, yeah. Our best-selling Bible studies are those that are just really walking people through Scripture. Yeah. Now, that's not to say that there aren't topics that right. we might address. Scarlett Hiltabeitel has a new study out on shame called Ashamed. And because we know that that's a topic right. that women deal with, but how do we deal with it? What does Scripture say about that?
Yeah.
And so really pointing them back to, this is not just a psychology, you know, course. This is word. What is God's word? Yeah. How do we use God's word?
Yeah. I love Scarlett. She's awesome. Okay. Yeah. So what are some, now that we've kind of talked earlier about a lot of pastor's wives kind of get thrown into whether they choose it or not, they're the de facto women's ministry leader. And so I'm thinking about maybe a young woman who's never really led anything before, and here she's kind of handed the keys to the women's ministry. What are some practical tips that you would give her about starting a women's ministry?
Sure. When I teach on just women's ministry essentials, I really do go back to Nehemiah a lot of times, and I will talk about just how God put it on his heart that the walls were broken and that there needed to be repairs. And so that really starts with a woman who looks around, and maybe it's the minister's wife, and says, wow, like there's something that's not right here. There's a holy discontent here. And where do I fit in this? But then it becomes, you know, you look at Nehemiah's prayer and you just see this heartfelt prayer. And he's saying, I don't want to be disgraced. Like our community is in disgrace. And so that's not to say that our churches are in disgrace, but there's maybe this really burning need. It's the same Hebrew word that Hannah uses in 1 Samuel 1, where she's talking about being disgraced for not having children. And so Nehemiah has that same kind of gut-wrenching, there's a need here. So I always say, start with prayer. Start with that. Where, look around you, and what are the needs around you? What is God placing on your heart? And then actually just starting to ask other women, where do you see needs? where do, you know, and assessing those needs and trying to figure out where are the things that are broken or where are the things that women need to be connected to God's word? How can we get them connected to Him? And I use the words, I think women, number one, need encouragement. So start there. Where, how are we encouraging women? But how are we calling them to embrace who Christ is through a relationship and through intimacy in His word? And then how do we echo His heart for the world? How do we leave differently? God's word gets in us, but it changes us, and there needs to be an outward expression mm-hmm. of that.
What do you think, or what would you say about other women, asking other women to be a part of leading with you?
Yeah. I mean, back to Nehemiah. I mean, like he starts, like he did not rebuild that wall himself. Mm-hmm. He pulled in all the people. And so, yes, starting to pray and asking the Lord, like, who are some women who maybe have a genuine desire? Maybe they're more equipped to lead a study. I do find that pastors' wives and ministry wives, a lot of times they look around and they think, okay, this is all landing on me. And maybe I love it. I love ministry wives, because I don't think I've met one of them that they all say the same thing. They're like, I'm not your typical pastor's wife. And I love that so much, because there's not. I mean, I think we have this kind of picture in our mind that she's got to be this first lady who's perfect and plays the piano and does all these things. And that's great if she does, you know, some of those talents and things like that, but walk in the gifts that God has given you. And then how do you connect that? I've met a lot of pastor's wives who are very introverted. And so for them, women's ministry seems like a very upfront thing, but I just want to encourage them. It doesn't have to be that. It can, you know, find the people who do things that you don't do well. You know, we always say lead in your strengths and staff in your weaknesses. So grab those women who are, you know, who maybe have those talents that you don't, and ask them to be part of that, and gather them together to pray. And I love it though, when a ministry wife does see the importance, or even just supports a ministry to women. I love that, because when they show up, it sends a message of that this is valued. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to encourage the pastor's wives out there, like, just show up. Even if you're not the leader, be a support to whoever is leading.
Yeah, or talk up what is happening. Even if you can't come, just encourage women to participate in it. Yeah, I find that being a pastor's wife is it's almost like an intersection. There's so many roads that run through you. So you often know stories, or you know people, and you know what they're good at, or you know that this woman's already doing women's ministry on her own over here in her house. And so how can you pull those people together and say, hey, I may not be the one to lead it, but you guys you have a heart for it. And how can I support you? How can I help you? How can I get the word out about what you're doing? So it's not even that we have to lead it, but we can use our influence mm-hmm. to help kind of add some heft to it, I think.
Yeah. And really, ministry wives do have influence. They really can influence that. And like you said, I mean, that doesn't mean that you have to show up at every single thing, or you have to be involved in every single Bible study, but just be the encourager and support. I am a product of a ministry wife who, she loved women's ministry. She was not on the women's ministry team. She didn't lead, but she helped with Bible study. She did help with the Bible study. But she was the one who would call me, and she would just say, okay, I need you to hear me. I need you to know that I see this in you, and I see that the Lord is going to use you. Or there was one time that I was at a women's retreat, and I'm just, you know, we all have those little grunt jobs that we all end up doing. And I'm just picking up things off the table, and I'm putting out handouts for the next session. And she comes up to me and she was like, what you're doing is important. And you know what? God's going to use the little things. Be faithful in the little things. And that, she probably doesn't even remember that conversation, but I do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it kept me going on days when I thought, I don't know what you have for me, God. I don't know what this looks like, but I'm going to be faithful with little. And then you do with that.
Yeah, I love that. So we have influence in our roles. We have influence with our words. Our words have weight to them, and we can use them to encourage women to lead. So I do want to think about those women though, that who are the pastor's wife, but they also are taking on ownership of the women's ministry. And let's say for a church planter, or maybe the women's ministry is just getting started in their church, and the church has been around for a while, but they're kind of kicking around ideas. And a lot of times when we think of women's ministry, we think of a fully formed, like we have everything. So, but I'm wondering what you would say, what are the one or two things that you would tell her, start here, beyond prayer? You mentioned prayer, start here. These are the most important things that you want to focus on.
Yeah. I have a survey in my book that's Ministry to Women. And I talk a little bit about this, but I do think that there are some pillars of ministry. But when you assess, maybe you do a survey and you ask women, what is it that you see here? There are two things that women will probably almost always say, and it comes to the top. Number one, Bible study, and they want to be connected. Mm-hmm. They want to try to find some type of community, and that can be done in a lot of different ways. But I always say, start with a Bible study. Anybody can start a Bible study. You can meet at a coffee shop. Like, your study is a great example of that, Christine, because we did a print-only study of that. And so it's not reliant on videos. So you can meet anywhere in someone's home or whatever, and you're getting women in God's Word. But within a Bible study, you can accomplish prayer, because you're going to pray together. You're going to accomplish discipleship, because you are getting women in God's Word. You can accomplish building community within that group. You can also accomplish evangelism and missions within a Bible study. Every Bible study I've ever led, there are women that I'm not sure whether they had a relationship with the Lord. And so it is an opportunity to share the gospel. It is an opportunity for us to say, this is what Christ has done for me, and this is what he can do for you. And so don't ever shy away from even being, or even praying for lost people in your Bible study. And then missions, there are ways in a Bible study that you can serve together. You can find ways to do that. So that's where I would start. Start with centering around God's Word.
I love it. Well, what also are some challenges that she might face? So, you know, I think there's typical things that start coming up. So what would you say are some of the challenges that we should expect, and how should we navigate those?
Yeah. Well, the obvious one, that especially if you're a church planning wife, is probably budget. Yeah. You're thinking, okay, I don't have money to bring in a speaker. I don't have money to do this. So I think you do have this. That's a challenge that you just have to ask the Lord, like, provide the resources that we need. And maybe you have a woman in your church who will help with that. Or maybe a woman who's very creative with the way that she uses her talents, and that she can bless somebody with that. So I think that's a challenge. I think the other challenge is depending on the geography of where you live. So let's say that you're planning a church in a big city. Let's say you're in Portland. People are going to be spread out in a lot of different places. Or you're in the Northeast and you're just trying to figure out, where do we even gather? You may not have a church building, right? So that can be a challenge of location. So maybe you have to think about, do we do this on Zoom, or do we meet, like, where can we meet at someone's home or in a coffee shop or someplace like that? So that can be a challenge, yeah. I think. And just the challenges of, do I feel equipped? You know, I think personally we all go, can I do this?
Yeah. Yeah. Do I have the capacity? Do I have the energy? Do I have what it takes when people ask questions I don't know the answer to, that kind of thing?
Because I'm going to guess a lot of your listeners are moms who may have kids that are still at home. And so that's a challenge too, because you're thinking, I don't have money for childcare. So how do I gather some women together? But maybe there's something that you do while your children are doing something together. You know, you do have to pray for creativity in all of those situations, for sure.
I think we have to think outside the box of traditional women's ministry. I mean, for our church in Virginia, we didn't have a building, and so we had to get creative. I mean, childcare is a big challenge. It's a big challenge for moms. And I mean, I had one study where we had kids in the room with us. I mean, they were in our living room, and or a mom would take some of the kids out. She might miss that week or whatever. So getting creative is important, but women long for these kinds of things. And so it's worth it to provide, provide that. So you're a women's ministry specialist, but you are really, you have a lot of wisdom about leadership. And so what are some basic leadership principles that we need to know? Like, how do we lead other women? Yeah,
that's good. I do think, number one, we are all wired very differently, and God has made us so unique. So don't look at another leader and feel like, I'm just not like her. Yeah. Walk in the person that God has created, you know, the woman that God has created you to be. Don't compare. Be you, because when you're you, then that's really like, that's the best you can give someone else. So I think that's really good. And then also, as far as just leading, learn how to lead yourself. Like, be a learner, be a reader. If you want to learn how to lead, observe other people, read about those kinds of things. I was surprised, Christine. I finished my doctoral project this summer, and it was with leaders. It was with women leaders. And the number of them who said they didn't read was really a little surprising to me. And so I just want to encourage people. There's a lot of great things that you can do by reading and studying and getting in God's word, and look for training opportunities. I mean, at Lifeway, we offer a lot of free things. Even on our Lifeway Women YouTube channel, you can go to our webinars, and they've all been recorded and they're there. So that is free training for you, or come to our leadership events. If we're near you or things like that, those are ways that you can do that.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by learn to lead yourself?
Well, I think you have to know yourself. I think you have to know. I think that comes with, you know, even just find those assessments out there that help you understand what's your personality like. Are you an extrovert or are you an introvert? Because I think that really leans into, how am I going to lead in this particular context? Find out what your spiritual gifts are. Do a spiritual gifts, you know, inventory, and just kind of learn a little bit more about yourself. So when I say leaders have to lead themselves, you would have to take the initiative to say, I want to learn and be a learner.
Well, and I also think, I think back to getting started with women's ministry, and when you start getting feedback from people, and sometimes that feedback is constructive criticism. But I would say now that I have some years of experience, that I didn't respond well to that in the beginning, because it felt personal. It was hurtful. Mm-hmm. But I look back at that now and I think, oh, you know, and I'm not saying every criticism is this way, but there were people who were trying to help me to grow in self-awareness, to say, hey, you know, I started hearing some themes from people about how they were experiencing me. And it really helped me once I was able to say, okay, this is for my good. And that's how I can lead myself, is to learn from what they're saying to me. If this is a theme over and over, I'm hurting people by doing these things. And so I need to change that. And it may not be natural to me, but the Lord can help me to change and to love people better and lead people better if I'm willing to listen to feedback.
I think that's so good, because too, Christine, I do think there are a lot of women out there I have heard so many stories over the years from ministers' wives that are ministry wives, that of things that people in the congregation have said to them that I don't know why I'm always shocked. I'm like, are you kidding? Like, someone said that to you? And I hear those stories and I think, how do you sift? How do you sift through that? But I think what you just said is so important, because you were like, is this a consistency? Like, is this coming up more than once. So when the woman comes up to you, I couldn't believe it. I have a friend who, she is just the most darling pastor's wife that I think I've ever known. And she had a woman come up to her at Easter because she had on kind of a brighter color dress. And she was like, "It's so good to see you in something other than black." You know, and I was like, and that woman did not mean it in a mean way. But I thought, are you kidding me? Or, yeah. Or haircuts? I mean, like, people have opinions about things. Just shelve those things, you know, don't take those to heart. But when someone says, I sense that you're not, like, you don't seem excited about something, or maybe like you don't feel like you're part of something or whatever, like they, and you just hear that over and over again. I think that is a time when you go, so why am I giving off that vibe? And maybe, yeah, like, how do I adjust? It's not, because sometimes we just don't even, we all have blind spots, don't we?
Yeah.
I do.
Oh yeah, for sure. So yeah, so there's a self-awareness that comes if we're willing to learn and to grow and not shrink back when those things happen.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
get defensive, which is what I tend to do. But
I think we all do.
Yes. Well, I'm wondering too, sometimes women come in, they're in a replanting situation, or they come into an established church and they realize pretty quickly there's some things that need to die here. Like, we need to kill some things that have been around. And I would love for you to speak to that. If it's like, this is just not working, but it's kind of a sacred cow, how would you encourage pastors' wives to handle that situation?
Oh, very tenderly. But no, you're right. There are some things. And I think it's easy because sometimes maybe you've come into a situation and you have fresh eyes. Yeah. And they have just been doing it the same way. I remember when we moved to Nashville and we had been in the same church for more than 20 some years. And so changing churches was not, like, that's not on our radar. We don't like to do that. We're just kind of in there. But we had to find a new church. We're in a new city. And I remember us walking by the women's ministry bulletin board, and it was pretty sad. Like, there was just some sad things. And I was trying to be really, like, gentle about all of that. So I think, number one, when the pastor came to me and said, "Hey, can you help us?" There was a sense of, there's an authority here that wants to see some change. But number two, who did I need to meet with? And I needed to meet with a woman who had been doing it for a long time. And she, and what I found out when we sat over coffee and had a 2-hour conversation, was she was tired. She didn't really want to do it anymore. And she was really willing to let some things go. Now, that doesn't mean that's always going to be the case. There's going to be some things that people are very, like, they just, like, this is what we do. This is who we are. I was at a mother-daughter thing one time, and the woman who led it wasn't even at that church anymore. She had moved churches, but because that was such a sacred cow, like, she still was leading that. And I'm thinking, why in the world is this still happening? So I think sometimes we have to honor the past, meet with the people one-on-one, do this biblically. But then if people aren't coming, they are already saying this is not working. And so it may take time. Don't come in and change a bunch of things all at once. Like that, well, that's probably my mode. Some people think that's a good way to do things. I think you've got to honor people, and you've really got to have the conversations, and then helping them see what is good, what are things that need to change, and then have them be part of the process. And then when it they may come to the same conclusion, like, you know what, this isn't working and we need to get rid of this.
Yeah. Okay. So a final question that comes to mind is, we kind of toggle back and forth with, we're speaking to ministry wives. They may or may not be leading the women's ministry, but let's talk about if there are a situation where the pastor's wife is not leading the women's ministry, someone else is, and the pastor's wife sees some things that maybe she would like to speak to about the women's ministry leader that might be more of the constructive criticism, or let's maybe improve this. How would you encourage that ministry wife to kind of work hand in hand with the women's ministry leader, or to give and offer feedback as well as encouragement? We've talked about that, yeah, but how would you encourage her to navigate that?
Yeah. So as someone who might be sitting in the women's ministry seat, so let's just say I'm the women's ministry person and you're the pastor's wife and you see some things that need to change. Has there been a relationship built that we trust each other? I think building that trust relationship so that I can receive that when she comes to me and says, you know what, I think there's some things that maybe we need to consider. If she's never shown up, if she's never gotten to know me or known my heart, then I'm probably gonna put up a wall there. But if she has shown an interest in what we're doing and she has shown an interest in me as the leader and says, hey, I just want us to be better. What I would not do is, as a pastor's wife, is to just start something else here on the side, because I've seen that happen and that goes really badly.
Yeah.
Because then it becomes a competition that the pastor's wife's over here doing something and the ministry leader's over here. And that just never goes well, because listen, she's married to the pastor. That's going to win. That's going to win. So, and so for the ministry leader, it goes both ways. You build trust with them too, so that they can speak into it, and ask them for input.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I said that was a final question, but I have another one.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So what if it's the opposite, where the pastor's wife is wanting to be more involved, but the women's ministry leader is resistant to that?
Oh, that's a good question. Okay. So let's think about that. If she wants to be more involved, man, most of the time I feel like ministry leaders are pretty open to it, but then if they feel very, it can be very protective, right? Like they can kind of be like, this is my thing and this is what I do. I do think that's a challenge. But I do think that I think even maybe that's maybe not her husband's place to do that, but maybe if there is another staff person, that can or cannot happen depending on the size of your church. But is there a way to kind of mediate that in a way to say, hey, how can my wife be more involved in here? How can she help you? How can she come along beside you? And I think that she wants to be more involved. One of my really good friends, Rachel Lovingood, she's one of our trainers, and she does this so well. Like she might be leading. She is a minister's wife, but she also helps in women's ministry. And she just helps bring about like, hey, have we thought about this? Have you thought about this? And just building those relationships and seeing the need and getting the support from other staff people. Yeah. If it's a bigger staff. Yeah.
Yeah. That's helpful. Well, thanks, Kelly, for letting me pick your brain all about women's ministry. We so just fun. Really touched the surface. So do you have, you mentioned your book, do you have resources where we could go deeper?
There is something new that we have at Lifeway called Lifeway Women Academy. And we've been doing courses on systematic theology, on hermeneutics, Old Testament, New Testament. But we have a brand new course coming out this fall on practical ministry. And so that would be great if you wanted to check out Lifeway Women Academy and look at the practical ministry course. It's coming out. It may even be out when this comes out.
And it's free?
It's not free, but it's an online course. It's only like $59 for the course. Okay. And you can do it at your own pace. And Jen Wilkin is teaching in this. Lily Park is teaching, who teaches at Southwestern. She teaches on like women in crisis and counseling women and the theology of ministry to women. I teach some practical courses. Jen teaches on building teams and Bible study in the local church. So that's definitely something to check out.
That sounds great. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Kelly.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to the Ministry Wives podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. If you found this content helpful, please subscribe, rate, and review us on your podcast platform or share it with a friend. You can find this podcast and other helpful resources at ministrywivespodcast.com.